Well, just like I was gracious to the mothers on Mother's Day and didn't preach a Mother's Day message, I'm going to do the same favour for the fathers, not preaching a Father's Day message so that we don't have to go away and feel bad today. But probably the topic that we're looking at is probably what every father needs anyway, looking at forgiveness. Dear, we all need forgiveness, us fathers, I'm telling you. And so we're just encouraging people to forgive us with our children. That'd be lovely. But, I hope you got a little sheet there that you can work through. There's a few gaps to keep you alert. I'm having a bit of a fight with the computer and the PowerPoint presentation system. I'm not talking to it at the moment. So I've gone back to the traditional way. And so we'll haven't quite forgiven it yet from last week, so we'll stick with paper today. But we'll open in a word of prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you that, Lord, you have forgiven us. Lord, help us to live like you and to be a reflection of you in every area of our life. And Lord, I pray that you may be with us today, that your Spirit may teach, comfort, exhort, rebuke, whatever the case may be. But Lord, your work will be done in us and through your word this day. Amen. Well, over the last 3 weeks, I've been looking at the topic of forgiveness that all stemmed from our series in 1 Corinthians when we got to chapter 5. And we will get back to 1 Corinthians. I know I've just gone off on a little bit of a tangent at the moment, and it's going to be another 3-week tangent. But once I get back from holidays, we will be back on 1 Corinthians. So 3 more weeks, I realised. And so, but hopefully, you've seen how God has given us different passages in His Word that show us how we should act in this matter of forgiveness, depending on the circumstances. And we've seen so far that if somebody is living in sin and we become aware of that, well, then we turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. And the end result of that is that it goes to the church if they're unrepentant. And if someone refuses to listen to the church, well, then, and continues to sin, well, then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And that's where God has instructed us. We've seen that if someone acts in a way that offends us but isn't necessarily a sin against God or us, well, then there's many passages. Ephesians 4:32 is a good one. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, forgive them for those offences that aren't necessarily a sin, just annoying things that they have about them. If someone does sin against us, well then we've learnt how we are to forgive them, and there's plenty of verses on that. Or if we believe that the way they're acting is going to harm them, and out of a desire to help them not to continue in that way, well then we go and rebuke them, and Luke chapter 17 tells us about that. We've learnt also if we go to them and they don't admit that they've sinned, or they don't want to speak to us, or they know they're sin but they don't want to change, they're not interested in changing, well, the answer is still we forgive them. And we can go to Mark 11, where Jesus says in verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. If you have anything against anyone, you are still to forgive. And I trust that these things have helped you understand the meaning of that passage and how God wants you to act. Now, having said that, though, I do know, well, I should say the overwhelming theme is that we're to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. We have been forgiven a great debt, and so we are to forgive others their debt. But as I was about to say, I'm sure you'd all agree with me that sometimes that's easier said than done. You hear it, but it's hard to do. And it often depends on how much you've been hurt by a person. You know, for example, if you tell a lie about Linda, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to forgive you of that and not have any long-lasting effects. But if you murdered Linda, all right? Now, God, I know, tells me I need to forgive you, but I dare say that's going to be much harder to forgive. And because there would be so many emotions involved, not just at the time of the murder, but for months and years gone by, I dare say that there would be, sometimes I would be struggling to know if I really have forgiven you or not, because of all the emotions that would be involved. And so what I would like to do today and for the next couple of weeks is answer some questions that arise about forgiveness. And I hope this might be able to help you. And particularly this week and next week, I had planned to put them all together and give you one big whammy. And I thought if I speak really fast, all right, I could do it in about 50 minutes. But I took pity on fathers, being Father's Day, and we have to do it in 2 weeks. So please, please, make sure that you come back next week and hear the other part of some of these questions, because they all do tie in together. But today I want to look at a couple of questions and then actually help you with solving one of these questions. But the first one is, does forgiveness mean I won't feel sad when I think of that person or sin? Does forgiveness mean that I will no longer feel sad or hurt, or even angry when I think of that person or sin? Often people think that forgiving someone is some magical formula that'll take away all the feelings of hurt or sadness that you've experienced by what that person did to you. Now, sure, that may be the case at times. It may simply just mean, you know, you forgiving them and it's gone. Like if you told a lie about Linda, I forgive you, to me, I think it'd just be gone. But I know there are times when Linda has asked me to forgive her for something. And I have forgiven her, but I know that it's taken me all day to get over the hurt. And I'm sure vice versa. It might take a few more days for her sometimes. All right, but because I hurt her more. That's the only reason. But it all depends on how hurt you have been. It could take a long time to not feel hurt by what somebody has done. And because people experience these feelings of hurt or sadness, maybe even anger after you've forgiven someone, you often begin to wonder if you truly have forgiven them. And you think, I thought I wouldn't have these feelings now that I've forgiven the person. And you can feel guilty about feeling sad or hurt still. And this question usually goes hand in hand with another question that we have here, 1B, and that is, does forgiving mean I must forget what they have done? Does forgiving mean I must forget? And this is generally what happens. Someone sins against you. You feel very hurt for some reason. Out of obedience to God, you forgive them. But then something happens to remind you, or that thought of what happened just appears in your mind for no reason. So you think about them, so it's the thought isn't completely gone. And then when you think about that, then you feel sad again, or you feel angry, or you feel hurt. And then you wonder, have I actually forgiven that person? If I've really forgiven them, why do I keep thinking about what they did? Why do I keep having these feelings? Well, the fact is, forgiveness doesn't always bring a gooey feeling inside towards that person that you've forgiven. If you murdered my wife, I may forgive you, but those gooey feelings towards you may take a long time to come, if ever. All right? And often, this confusion comes from a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is. You see, forgiveness isn't about how you feel. Forgiveness is an act of obedience to God, and it's how, what you choose to do to that person who has offended you, how you choose to act towards them. And so often it is a matter of obedience to God and has nothing to do with how you feel inside. See, I have there a definition of forgiveness. I didn't leave any gaps just in case you got it wrong. But to forgive is you no longer require or desire the person who has hurt you to suffer for that offence, either physically or emotionally. That's what it means to forgive someone. Let me repeat it. You no longer require it. I demand or desire it. Mate, I'm going to work out something. All right? So you no longer require it or desire that person who has hurt you to suffer for the offense, either physically or emotionally. That means you're not seeking revenge, where you're trying to make them pay in some way. And so you come to that conclusion that you're no longer going to make them feel guilty or feel the guilt or shame of their actions. And this definition of forgiveness is actually explained by a verse that is often used to make people think the opposite. And I want you to turn there. It's in Isaiah 43, verse 25. I've got it there, Isaiah 43, verse 25. Here is a wonderful verse about how God forgives us. It's a wonderful verse. It says there in Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions from for mine own sake. So God forgiveness. And then he says, and will not remember thy sins. And many people read this and think that when God forgives, then he forgets our sins. He's never going to remember it again. And so they think, well, shouldn't I be doing the same thing if I've really forgiven them? And then they are tormented. Well, how come I always remember their sin and I still think about it? And why do I feel sad? And so there's this turmoil. If I'm to forgive like God forgives and he doesn't remember it anymore, how come I keep remembering it? But this verse doesn't mean that God removes our sin from his memory. You can't have an all-knowing God with all those gaps in his memory. Just think of all the sins we've committed here, just us, all right? If he's blocked that out of his memory bank, there's a lot of gaps just for us, let alone all the other Christians in the world. Now, the word remember there has a number of meanings, but they all basically point to the same thing. To remember means to mark, all right? So you brand somebody, to mark or to mention. And so they're the two M's, or to record. I'm going to write it down in my little black book. Never forget, all right? Or recount. So you recount it to the person or to other people. Do you know what they did? Da, 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 da. So you're recounting it. And so that's what remember means. You mark them so they're branded, or you mention it to them, or you record it so you're never going to forget it, or you repeat it to everybody. That's what remembering means. And so God says that he is not going to remember our sin anymore. That doesn't mean he's going to wipe it from his memory banks. It means that he's not going to mark us with that. He's not going to mention it. He's not going to record it in heaven or recount it to us. And so that means if you confess your sin, he's not going to make you feel guilty about it. And so if you have sinned and you have confessed your sin to God and received that forgiveness from him, and then you feel guilty the next day, you can be sure that's not the Holy Spirit doing that. That could be just your own memory bank and your conscience playing havoc with you. It could be Satan, because he is the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that repeats and brings up sins that are forgiven and tries to and put it upon us. But every time he accuses us to our Heavenly Father, he says, no, that's forgiven. No, I don't apply that to them anymore. But it's not God. When God forgives sin, it's been struck from the record, never to be mentioned again. And knowing this is what happens when we confess our sin to our Heavenly Father, makes him far better than if he struck it from his memory bank. You think of it. I can say my Heavenly Father loves me. He shows mercy to me and shows kindness to me, even though he knows how sinful and evil I am. Boy, he must love me. And he doesn't treat me the way I deserve. He shows mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed my sin from me. And this is how he wants us to treat others. Now, I have an example here, a really bad one for Father's Day, actually. I thought of this, but we'll go with it anyway, all right? Ladies, just say you had a big argument with your husband and he punched you fair in the nose, all right? Very bad, all right? Today, he wasn't happy with the socks he got, all right? And he punched you fair in the nose. Now, after a lot of sadness, a lot of problems, maybe repair of the nose and all that sort of stuff, he comes and admits what he did was terribly wrong and he asks you forgiveness and you forgive him. Despite the fact that you've forgiven him, I'll guarantee you'll never forget that action. Never. And I'll guarantee it'll take a long time before you don't feel sad when you think about what he did to you. Now, that comes with the course of thinking about something terrible. But if you have forgiven him, despite the knowledge of what he did, despite the feelings that arise, you will act like Christ. And that means that you will show him love, you will show him kindness, even though you know what he has done to you. That's what forgiveness is. That's how Christ has forgiven us. That also means that you won't bring it up next time you have an argument. It also means that you won't use it against him to get your own way. Well, I want to buy this new car, and remember what you did to me? I think I deserve that, and so on. You don't make him feel the guilt and the shame of what he has done. It means that he is, when he is forgiven, that he is not having that your condemnation hanging over him all the time. That's what it means to forgive. And that's how God wants us to deal with each other here as a church and also within our families. It's not to be mentioned with the intention of hurting. It's someone isn't marked forever by that action and they know that they are free from your condemnation about it. You know, I'm sure Linda won't mind me saying this, but in our first few years of marriage, we didn't quite work out this forgiving business very well. And whenever we, obviously, we did things that annoyed and were wrong with it towards each other. And every time we got into an argument, we like had a repertoire of arsenal that we can bombard each other with of past things that we've done wrong. And I just knew whenever there was a disagreement and we ended up having an argument, I knew the arsenal she had against me. And I knew that it was warranted, all right? And I knew what I could use against her. I remember there was a day, I know exactly the day and the time where we were, and we said, we can't keep doing this. We have to actually forgive each other. And so we both said, look, I forgive you for everything you've done in the past, and it will not be mentioned again. And we actually exercised true forgiveness towards each other. And you know, I still remember that day feeling like there was a burden. That arsenal hanging over me to every time was gone. I have to give an account for what I do from now until I get forgiveness again. And I don't have to have all that against me again. And that's what forgiveness is. And that's what God wants us to show towards others. And so when we confess our sins to the Lord, he wipes it in the sense we don't have that arsenal of offences against us from him hanging above us. And that's what he expects from us. He doesn't expect us to wipe it from our memory banks. That's almost impossible. But there's a big difference between remembering and choosing not to act upon it and I'm never going to forget. If someone says, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget, and by that, what their meaning is, I'll say the words, I forgive you, but I tell you what, I'm going to always hold it against you, and I'm going to make sure that you're reminded of it, and I will repeat it and use it against you as much as I can. That's not forgiveness. But if, on the other hand, if you have forgiven someone, and you no longer require them to be punished, you don't want them to be punished, all right? You've forgiven them. Your condemnation isn't hanging over them. But when you do still remember what they did, and it makes you sad when you remember it, that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. No, we are emotional beings. and thoughts affect our feelings. We can't avoid that. Mate, you can watch a Lassie movie and feel sad, all right? It's not even real. It's just the dog. But those thoughts make you sad. And so if there's something that really actually happened that made you sad, when you think of it, it will make you sad. But that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. And I think that's important for us to make clear about forgiveness. Because sometimes you can be tormented by thoughts of sadness and you wonder if you truly have forgiven. But when you understand what forgiveness is, you see that you have. Now that goes on to another question. Two. We've actually answered three if you really put it down to it, but we're up to number two. And that is, how can I get rid of these feelings and not turn bitter? One of the biggest struggles that a person will face once they've forgiven someone is the battle with resentment. And that doesn't mean that you haven't genuinely forgiven them. It doesn't mean that you weren't sincere when you forgave them. This has to do with how you respond when these feelings arise and show themselves once again. You see, resentment means it's made up of two words, not Greek words, English words this time, all right? Re, meaning again, and sentiment, meaning feelings. And so it's reliving those feelings. And so when you think about something, it causes feelings to appear, and so you're reliving these feelings. And if the more you think about it, the more you feel it. And so you're having these feelings over and over and over and over again. That's what resentment really is. And a person, when they don't recognize how dangerous these thoughts are, these resentments can quite easily breed and turn into bitterness or anger or hatred and even depression. See, a person can allow themselves to go over and over and over all the actions that that person committed against them. Or they allow themselves to go over and over all the thoughts or the words that that person spoke to them that brought about hurt in the past. And then what happens is, this could be 5 years, 10 years, doesn't matter. But even though the action took place then, because they are reliving these thoughts over and over all the time, they're experiencing that same feeling of hurt and sadness and anger all the time. And they are tormented by these feelings. You allow your thoughts to bombard you with wrong thoughts. That's why God has told us that we need to renew our mind daily. That's not just a verse put in there for the sake of it. There is a reason why we need to renew our mind daily. There is a reason why He said to think on things that are lovely and kind and pure and of a good report. There is a reason why He said to cast down those thoughts that exalt themselves against God, who are in opposition to how God wants you to act. These are all verses that God has put in to help us. You see, God isn't in heaven rehashing over and over in His mind all the things that we've done against Him and getting angry again. Now, He knows what we've done, but He's removed it from us. And that's how He wants us to act. Now, for this to happen, it won't happen automatically. It's something we have to work at. But I tell you, if you honor the Lord in this way and you choose to do what He wants, the Holy Spirit will take you and those thoughts, and He will enable you to do that. The problem is, most of us aren't willing to do it. I have been hurt by someone and I am angry with them, and I sort of feel justified to wallow in all those thoughts and be angry constantly with them. Little do they know is they're actually just ruining themselves. That's why they wonder why they're overwhelmed with depression and sadness or anxiety, or just they spark up at everyone. And it's the fact that they're reliving these things all the time. People, you want to live in that miserable state for some reason. But when you get to the point where you're just over it, that's when God says, well, I have a better way. But I'll tell you, rarely does it require just a prayer at night, and then you wake up the next morning and life's perfect. All right? And I'll tell you why. Because generally by that stage, you have trained your mind to think on these things that bring about these sadness. And so you have built up a very unhealthy, unhealthy habit. Isn't that terrible? It's only a little word, habit. You've built up a very unhealthy habit in your life. And habits are very hard to break. And you're going to have to work just as hard at training your mind to glorify the Lord instead. But in time, if you do, those feelings will go away. And that's why the Lord also says to put off the old way of thinking and exchange it for a new way of thinking. And what I want to do is, and it's not going to take long, only a couple of pages, I want to give you something that can help you to take away with. That's why I really wanted the bit of paper. So you can take this away. And depending on how bad it is, you probably should, which is what I have done and helped others, told others to do, is you have this all worked out on a bit of paper and you hang it somewhere so you can go back there every time these thoughts come and you go through it. It's all there. So you don't have to wonder what's next. Or you have it so clear in your mind, you know what you're going to do. And then what happens is when one of these thoughts come that you know is going to bring sadness, there's nothing in the Bible that says this, but I say picture a stop sign. And say, I'm not going to go down that path. I know where that path leads. That leads to being sad. I'm sick of going down that path. I'm going to choose another path. And then the first thing you do is you, where we see A, you thank the Lord for forgiving you of your sin. And so what you do is you thank the Lord for forgiving you of your sin. And so you use this bad habit that you've built up in your life and you use it for good. You're very good at thinking these sad things or bad things, and so you don't need a reminder. And so it'll come naturally, and so you can think, use this as a time to thank the Lord for forgiving you of all your sin. And when you start to realize how undeserving you have been, well then you will start to find it much easier to forgive others. That's what it says in, you know, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When you're fully aware of how much you've been forgiven, it's going to make it easier to forgive others. So the first thing you do is, I stop, I'm not going down that path. But Lord, thank you for the reminder of how much you've forgiven me. Thank you for forgiving me when I did that. Thank you for being so gracious. And then B, you thank him that through his strength you were able to forgive that person. You know, even though you have these bad feelings, that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. You remind yourself you have forgiven them. Lord, thank you that I was able to release that person from my condemnation. Thank you that you helped me to forgive them. And then thirdly, ask the Lord to give you his strength. Ask the Lord to give you his strength to act like Christ. Got to look at my little sheet to see what gap I've left. Ask him to give you his strength to act like Christ. It's not that you haven't forgiven. It's just that your flesh is now starting to try and lead you in a path. You know how in James it says we're all led away by our own lusts or those feelings, and then when lust bringeth forth or comes to its fullness, it brings forth sin. Your flesh is raising up again. You have these feelings of hurt and sadness, and it can bring about sin if you let it go that way. But you ask the Lord to give you the strength not to go down that path. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13 says. And then you pray for the person. If they're unrepented, pray that they'll get right with the Lord. If they have repented, pray that they'll grow in the Lord. You know, it says in Matthew 5:44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Now, if that's how we're meant to act towards our enemies, it goes without saying that we should do that towards our brethren as well. Everyone else from our enemies down deserve to have this. We pray for them. And then E, have a list of good things they have done. And thank the Lord for these things. Have a list of good things they've done. And thank the Lord for these things. Now, for some, that may not be possible. But for most, it should be. You know, if you see, what happens is you're hurt and then you focus on what that person has done wrong, and that's all you can think about or see when you think about that person, all the wrong things. Despite the fact there might be a million good things, all you can see is those few bad things. And so when you think about that person, your mind goes straight to those bad things rather than all the good things that they have done. And if you have a problem where you think, when you think of your parents, you think, boom, bad things. I'll guarantee there should be at least 10 good things you can think about for your parents that they have done. If it's your spouse, I'm sure you can at least think of 10 good things. And if you train your mind that when I think about them, I'm thinking of all the good things now, you can start to give thanks for them. You can do that with your children as well. Maybe even your pastor. Well, let's go to 5, all right? We'll make 5. Try and find 5 things to think of with me if the problem's with me. Or 2 even. But you should be able to find something. And that way, you're training yourself to see the big picture. There are blessings there. And then F, confess your sin for not being Christ-like. You know, as I said, to allow those sad, angry, hurtful thoughts to turn into bitterness doesn't mean that you didn't forgive the person in the first place. But what it does mean is you've allowed your flesh, these feelings, to draw you to a point of sinning. And it doesn't mean that you have to go and forgive the person again. What it means is you have to realize that you are wrong in not acting like Christ. And that's something you need to deal with between Christ and yourself. And so you pray and say, Lord, I am sorry for my un-Christ-like actions or attitude. Sometimes we think it's all them, and we forget that we are not being Christ-like in our attitude. And I guarantee if you do this every time you think of that sin or that person, when those memories come, if you stop yourself from going down that road, I'm not going to go down that road. But Lord, I do thank you that you have forgiven me of so much. Thank you that you've been so forgiving. I am not deserving of any of that, but thank you for forgiving me. And Lord, thank you for allowing me to forgive that person. And Lord, I pray that you'll give me the strength to act in a manner that is like Christ towards that person. I need your help. And Lord, I pray for them. I pray that they'll change. Well, Lord, I pray that you'll help them to grow. And Lord, I thank you that they were kind to me at that time. I thank you that they actually showed mercy to me that time. I thank you for the way that they have cared for me or whatever. And Lord, forgive me for my wrong attitude. If you do that every time, I'll guarantee in time you will renew your mind and you won't be hounded and twisted and to the point where you're just bitter constantly or sad constantly or angry constantly. But you can have that freshness where you can enjoy the joy of the Lord. But it comes down to if you want to be released from those feelings. Because some people have this morbid concept that the sadder I feel about that person and the angrier I am, well, then the more they suffer. No, it doesn't happen that way. You're the only one suffering. So you need to work that out. Now, if I talk real quickly, I could do the next ones, but I won't. But we'll finish that off next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, sorry for our lack of forgiveness at times, or allowing those thoughts of sadness to take us to a point of not acting like Christ. Show us your ways and release us, dear Father, from the Lord, these strongholds that Satan or our own sinful flesh has been able to build up within us, that we may enjoy the love of Christ and enjoy showing the love of Christ to others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.